Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, it is a hard truth, I think, sometimes that we like to resist, but the reality is the choices we make every day have consequences. Our choices have consequences. I want to talk to us about that this morning. Every single choice we make has some sort of consequence that's downstream. Downstream, every decision you make, every decision you made this morning so far, it has had some sort of consequence on how your day has gone. Now, granted, some choices are less consequential than others, but every single choice, it has a ripple effect in our reality. It's kind of like the dominoes up here on the screen. The boys, when they were little, they had this domino set, and we would set dominoes up through our entire kitchen, and it was the whole deal where you'd have the red and the yellow and the greens, and they'd go over bridges and through houses and things like that. If I would have had time, I would have found pictures, because we have pictures of them in our archive somewhere of these dominoes. And you set them all up, it takes 3 hours, and then you make the choice to flick the one domino at the beginning of the stream, and in less than 15 seconds, 3 hours of work is all for naught. But it's really cool and it's really fun. But it's a great example of how one choice can make all the other dominoes fall in our lives, because none of us live in a vacuum. There's not a single one of us that live in a vacuum. For instance, aren't you glad this morning that your pastor actually prepared a sermon?
Amen.
Think about it. Had I decided to just wing it, just come up here and, hey, how you doing? I'm just going to make something up on the fly. My choice would have had consequences. Number one, I'd be really stressed out right now. I really work really hard. Jack knows what I'm talking about. I work really hard to make sure that I am not writing a sermon on Sunday morning unless the Lord is talking to me about rewriting what I've already put together, so that I can come into Sunday morning confident and ready to go, aligned with the will of the Lord. So if I made the choice to not prepare a sermon this morning, I'd be really anxious right now in front of you. I'd be stressed out, but it wouldn't just affect me. It would affect you too. Number one, you might be like, man, I hate it when he wings it. You may not get fed from the sermon. You may not get what you need. You may not hear what the Lord needs to say to you if I'm not doing my job as your pastor to faithfully prepare a sermon. So it wouldn't just stress me out, it would affect you in ways maybe that you're not even aware of, because I was not faithful to listening to the Lord to deliver a word maybe that you really needed to hear this morning. If you had a pastor who decided to wing it every Sunday, at some point the church board would get together, probably, and decide that it was time to provide some coaching and feedback. Got some coaching and feedback for the pastor. And the board would wise up and maybe make some choices of their own to deal with the choices that the pastor had made to decide to wing it on Sunday morning with his sermons. The choices we make every day the choices you make have an impact on your own life, and some choices have an impact on the lives of the people around you. You ever like wonder what mood they're going to be in today? I had a boss that I used to work for, and I would go into the secretary's office to check the weather forecast for the day. What's the weather like today? It was code. it was code for that. But sometimes our choices have an impact on other people, directly or indirectly speaking. And the reason I bring this all up this morning is because the choices we make are very closely related to our ability to become whole and holy. We've been talking about this concept in June and July. I've been talking about how you can really do some self-care and take care of yourself and be sensitive to the needs of others from a mental health standpoint, coming on the backside of a pandemic that very few of us have ever really experienced. The choices we make, the choices you make in your life every day, are directly correlated to your ability to realize the wholeness and the holiness that God intends for you to benefit from. If you've been tracking along, we've been exploring this reality that it's God's will to not just make us holy, but to make us whole. Jesus said to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It's not just soulness, it's about wholeness. Amen? God cares about every aspect of your health, your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health, your spiritual health. God cares. He wants you to be a whole person. Amen. We've also discovered over the past several weeks as we've been walking through this study of, you know, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we've been in the book of Mark quite a bit, but we've discovered that each of us as followers of Jesus, we are all shepherds. Let's say it again. I am a shepherd. I am a shepherd. We are all shepherds of a flock of people that God has placed within our circle of influence for this chapter, this season of our lives. But we aren't going to be able to effectively shepherd our flock if we are not at our best. What we talked about last week. We're not going to be able to shepherd our flock. We're not going to be able to live into our calling as followers of Jesus if we're not at our best. And I want you to know this morning that God desires for you. God desires for you to be whole and holy. If you're within the sound of my voice this morning, it's not a message for somebody else. God desires for you to be whole and holy. God desires for you to be strong. God's desire is for you to be strong physically. We see that in the story of Daniel, don't we? Where they ate their veggies and they were strong and mighty and better than everybody else. God's desire for you is to be strong emotionally. Well, that's a hard one. Amen? Yeah, but it is his desire for you not to be out there in your own emotions. He wants to be your anchor. He wants to anchor you in the reality of his love so that you can be stronger emotionally. It's God's desire for you to be strong mentally. It's God's desire for you to have good mental health, good self-esteem. You're a child of the King, for Pete's sake. You should have good self-esteem. Sometimes the enemy likes to tell us lies. Sometimes life happens. And that strength in any of these areas can fritter away. The truth of the fact is, yes, God wants us to be strong, but the reality is that sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes life happens. Other people make choices that adversely impact us or the people we love. Or maybe we're confronted with physical challenges, unpredictable illness, age. Happy birthday, Pastor. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes we're not as strong as we'd like to be. Let's be honest. Sometimes we're not as strong as we'd like to be because of poor choices that we've made in our own lives. We've made choices that have consequences on our own physical strength, emotional strength, mental strength, and yes, even our spiritual strength. And so, how do we turn things around? How do we deal with this, the realities that we're living with? Last week we started talking about the secret to becoming whole and holy so that we can be our best, our very best, to shepherd our flocks and live into God's will for our life. And we really started talking about the fact that the secret to becoming whole and holy for a follower of Jesus is, does anybody remember what it is? Sabbath. Sabbath. The secret to becoming whole and holy, the secret is this, it's the concept of Sabbath. And last week we talked about how we are designed for Sabbath. You can struggle and you can resist that reality all you want, but the reality is, as humanity, we are designed for Sabbath. We explored the creation story last week and we learned that what is good for the goose is good for the gander, right? God rested. You know, he took a rest every day, in between every day, and then he rested on the seventh day, and he declared it holy. He declared it holy. God embraces this rhythm of Sabbath in his life. And he built the need for Sabbath into humanity, who was made in the image of God. We need it because it's part of who God is and it's how he set up creation. So this week we're going to extend our thinking here just a little bit. We want to extend our understanding of Sabbath in our lives. Yes, we are designed for Sabbath. You are capable of enjoying the benefits of Sabbath. But the reality is Sabbath is a choice. It's a choice. We're designed for Sabbath, but God does not force Sabbath down our throats. Did you know that? We're designed for Sabbath, but God's not going to force it down our throats. It's not the kind of God we serve. Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. And it was one, I love, it's like one of the ways he identified himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. And he had some great insight about this in Mark chapter 2. So if you want to flip in your Bible to Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, we read this. One Sabbath, here we are on the Sabbath. One Sabbath in Mark chapter 2, verse 23, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread." Entered the house of God and ate the communion wafers? What? They were so hungry. What? How dare you do that? "He entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." And then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples, you know, they're always frustrating the Pharisees. And the, you know, the Pharisees were all about making sure that everybody followed every rule under the law. Their goal was to get everybody to obey the law. And maybe if they could get everybody to obey all the law all at once, Messiah would come. That was kind of what drove them. And this is only the second chapter of Mark. And the Pharisees already have their eyes on Jesus. Now, if you're a teacher like Kim or Tammy, you know what this is like. By the second day of the school year, you know which kids you're going to have to pay attention to. Who are going to be the problem children? Here we are in Mark chapter 2. The Pharisees already know Jesus is going to be a problem child. They're going to have to keep their eye on him. And here it is, the Sabbath, and Jesus and his disciples, they're eating out on Sunday. You know, they pulled up to the drive-thru at Wendy's to pick up some French fries. We do that, right? Well, they're equivalent for them. They're out in the grain field. They're picking up heads of grain off of the wheat. And that was against the Sabbath rules. How dare Jesus do this? How dare you? How dare your disciples do this? So the Pharisees do what any good Pharisee would do. They say, "Hey, Jesus, get your disciples to fall in line. Get with the picture. Follow the rules. You are setting a horrible example as a rabbi, as a teacher. What kind of teacher are you?" But the Pharisees didn't get it. They're all upset about them picking these heads of grain off of the wheat on the Sabbath day, and they've missed the intent of the design. And Jesus, I love it that Jesus identifies himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. In this particular passage, he sets them straight. The reason he, like, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath," kind of like Superman, he has an S for Sabbath on his chest. This is one of those minutes. He's like, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the authority. I'm the designer, fellas, of the Sabbath. I know what it's all about. If there's anyone who understands the true nature of Sabbath, it's Jesus. He was there. He was part of it." And he says, "Guys, you've got it all wrong," to the Pharisees. It's like the Sabbath was designed for man, was designed for humanity. Humanity wasn't designed to check a box and comply with some sort of Sabbath requirement. Sabbath was made for man, for the benefit of man. Sabbath wasn't made to be observed as a requirement. In other words, Sabbath is designed for our good. Sabbath is designed for our benefit. It's not designed, folks, to be a burden. Sabbath isn't designed to be a burden. It's designed to be a blessing in our lives. Amen? Sabbath is, I think the church needs to hear this, because sometimes I think we've made the Sabbath into something it was never intended to be. We're almost as bad as the Pharisees had gotten, because they missed the true reason, the true nature of Sabbath. The concept of Sabbath, it's not meant to be a millstone tied around our neck that we have to drag around every Sunday. Sorry, not able to do this, that, or the other. You know, we make it about the don'ts. It's not meant to weigh us down. It's meant to lift us up, feed our souls, encourage us. And embedded in this insight from Jesus is the reality. He just kind of reinforces it here. It's a choice to be adopted. Sabbath is a choice. Sabbath is created for humanity to choose. Part of learning to love God and part of learning to love other people is to learn to choose Sabbath of our own free will. Amen. To choose it intentionally every 7 days, not when you want to. You know, it's the design is weekly Sabbath. It's only when we freely choose to incorporate Sabbath into our lives that we gain the benefits from it. If we make Sabbath only about compliance, we're not going to be any better than the Pharisees. And Sabbath is going to become not only a burden for us, but we're placing a burden for anybody who walks into the walls of our church. So as we choose to embrace Sabbath, we choose to do so not because we have to. You should be embracing the concept of Sabbath in your life because you want to. It's not a have to, it's a want to. As Pastor Ed would say, it's a I get to embrace Sabbath in my life. Because it holds the potential to help us become the whole and holy people God intends for us to be. It's part of the equation that we need to make sure we're adopting into our lifestyle. We need it. We're built for it. It's made for us. If we choose to embrace Sabbath. And choosing to embrace Sabbath, it really is a discipline that needs to be mastered over time. You know, we've got a certain construct in our minds about what we think Sabbath is. Well, you go to church on Sunday morning and you don't do all these different things, right? And I think it's hard to choose to embrace Sabbath in the spirit of the way it was designed, because we live in this always-on culture. I mean, it is always on all the time. Our culture never stops, you know, with, you know, social media, with electronic communication, 24/7 service. It's 24/7, 365, always on, and it's really hard to adopt a Sabbath mentality in your life, a Sabbath rhythm in your life, when the world is doing something else. It's kind of like trying to tap your head and rub your belly at the same time. Can anybody do that? Can you do that? Look at this. You got all this is hard to do, you know? You gotta tap your head and rub your belly at the same time. It's difficult to do. Some of you can do it. It took me a long time to practice how to do that. And you know who taught me that was one of my drum instructors when I was a kid, because you've got to figure out to do different things with your hands. But Sabbath is a discipline to be mastered. You know, this world wants us to keep tapping our heads, but it's time to rub our belly a little bit. That's difficult to do. It's hard to do. And I can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but I can do this, right? But it's hard to choose Sabbath in our culture, so we have to practice. We have to practice adopting Sabbath and making it a regular part of our lives. We have to keep coming back to it and picking it up and doing it again if we're going to realize the full benefits of it in our lives. And I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to God's people this morning. This is a discipline that I think God is calling us to master this concept of Sabbath. We have to practice it to realize the full benefits. Our culture's geared to go 24/7, 365. And that means even during our downtime, our Sabbath time, we're taught to be busy and productive and active and trying. You know, yesterday was my Sabbath. Saturday is typically my Sabbath. But we had a really busy day yesterday. You know, even I got a little bit of rest in the morning, and I was struggling through the day with the sinus headache, but we had a lot of different things that we needed to do, and we enjoyed celebrating Steve's birthday with him last night, which is all good, but there's just a lot of stuff that was happening on my Sabbath day. So I'm a little out of rhythm. I plan on doing a little bit more Sabbath this afternoon, just to kind of rest and stop and not do anything, because I missed a little bit of that yesterday. And sometimes, you know, even on our Sabbath, we don't even realize it's happening. You know, we don't even realize that it's happening because this ethic of go, go, go is so ingrained in our brains. And my main purpose this morning with this message, the main point of this message is really to get your attention and my attention, really to throw some cold water in our face to help us realize that Sabbath doesn't just happen in our lives. It's not something that just passively happens. And I'm not talking necessarily about just taking a nap. Last week we talked about the NAS nap, which is really great. But what are you doing to really rest, and not just physically, but to find rest spiritually? You know, Sabbath is about not doing something, and it's also about reconnecting with God. And it's one thing to rest and take a nap, but what are you doing to fill your cup? What are you doing to fill your cup so that you can be the best person God wants you to be? So, you know, I just want you to realize this morning, Sabbath doesn't happen unless you choose it to happen in your life. And I'm not just talking about coming to church. Think about what you do to observe the rhythm of Sabbath in your life. We have to intentionally choose it if we're to benefit from it. We need to intentionally order our lives to incorporate some semblance of Sabbath. And that's hard to do. It takes discipline. It takes time. We've got to master it. And sometimes things get in the way. Sometimes it feels awkward. It doesn't feel like we're doing it right. Sometimes other things happen on our schedule that interrupt it. And that's okay. The beauty of it is we get to come back to it next week and try again. Right? That's the beauty of this. We get to come back, and it may look a little different for every single one of us. What fills David's soul may look a little different than what fills my soul. You know, some people might be like, oh, I got to get out into nature, or I've got to, you know, do whatever, play your guitar. I don't know. It may look a little different for each of us, and that's great because you were designed really specifically by God, by the master designer. And he designed a certain way for your cup to be filled. Do you even know what that is? Do you even know what fills your soul? Outside of coming and worshiping together with your brothers and sisters, and that is a primary component of Sabbath, by the way. If we're making excuses to go do other things on Sunday when we, you know, this is sacred time here. It's holy, you know. And we got to make sure we're incorporating worship. But what other things are you doing to fill your cup? And sometimes we go through seasons of life where it's hard to practice Sabbath because we got a kid in the hospital. Amen? We got all sorts of stuff going on. It's okay not making it a burden to throw on your back. We go through seasons of life. The beauty is we have the master of time, or the benefit of time to master the discipline of Sabbath. The pattern's been laid out for us. Will we choose to master the discipline? Is that a priority in your life, to master the discipline of Sabbath? Because if it's not, there's a little bit of danger out there for us. Because if we choose to shun or ignore the concept of Sabbath, we need to realize that that is the fast path to falling into sin. When we shun Sabbath, when we ignore the need for Sabbath in our life, when we neglect the need for Sabbath in our life, that's when we're more likely to fall into idolatry of some sort of, way or shape in our lives. That, you know, shunning Sabbath, the fast path to sin, to idolatry, to destruction, to frustration in our lives. Sabbath is intended as a rhythm that helps us reset our focus on what is really going on and what really matters in this world. Did you know that much of what we experience in this world is simply a ruse by the devil to distract us from what's really going on spiritually in our reality? The enemy of your soul knows that if he can keep us distracted by this always-on culture, that he can suck the life out of us individually, and he can suck the life out of the church if we fail to appropriately incorporate Sabbath into our lives. The enemy knows the principle of garbage in, garbage out. I found this post on my Facebook page recently. It reminded me of the importance for us to intentionally choose to embrace Sabbath in our lives. And I blurred out the name of the person whose post it is, but I'll have Steve show it up on the screen here on this slide. You might not be able to read it. I'll read it to you. This person wrote, "If you watch HGTV too long, you'll become dissatisfied with your home. If you stay on social media too long, you'll become dissatisfied with your life. If you watch the news too long, Fox, CNN, Newsmax, you name it, if you watch the news too long, you'll become dissatisfied with this world." I think there's an idolatry problem in our country right now with watching too much Fox, too much CNN, too much Newsmax, too much whatever. You might want to turn that idol off. It used to be the sin box in the 80s was because of the skin on the screen, and now it's because of these people who don't know what they're talking about, filling our minds with their opinion, not based on fact, and making us think it's real. We should be very, very concerned about how much we allow the idol of Fox News or CNN or whatever to rule what's going on in our hearts and our minds. Sometimes has more influence than the Lord above does. Just saying it. Just the messenger. If you watch the news too long, you're going to become dissatisfied with the world. And she writes, unplug. Turn it off. Pray. Read your Bible. Read a book. Hey, here's a brilliant idea. Spend a little bit of quality time with your loved ones. Take a walk. Ride your scooter. Our minds are easily influenced, but we control what the influences are. Choose wisely. That's a sermon unto itself. Sabbath, friends, is a choice. Sabbath is a choice. God will not force us on it. He invites us to freely choose to embrace Sabbath in our life. And remember, every choice we make has consequences. If we are shunning Sabbath, it's going to have an impact, just as if we embrace it, just in a negative way in our lives. If you're finding yourself constantly disappointed or dissatisfied or anxious, upset, unbalanced, off kilter, it might be time to just step back and honestly evaluate in our lives, in the lives of the people of God and the church, how well do we choose to incorporate Sabbath into our lives? Because you see, you can't be a good shepherd to your flock if you're not at your very best. And we're not at our very best unless we're doing what God designed us to do. And that just kind of brings me to my final little point. There's one more important step to intentionally choosing Sabbath this morning, and that is to make sure that all is well. All is well in our hearts and our lives with the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, maybe one of the reasons we don't choose to incorporate Sabbath in our lives is because maybe there's things that need to be dealt with that we're just deferring or kicking the can down the road on or resisting to allow Jesus to work in our hearts on. So we don't embrace Sabbath, so we don't have to confront the reality of what's really going on deep in our soul. You know, if you avoid it, you don't have to deal with it. That's what goes on in our mind, and that's the enemy loves that. The enemy loves that. You see, we need to make certain that all is well with Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, so he can disciple us into the mastery of practicing Sabbath. Is it well with your soul this morning? Because if it's not, maybe it's time to Sabbath. Maybe. Only Jesus can teach us how to do it. Only Jesus can help us realize our full potential. Only Jesus can make us whole and holy. So if you're struggling, if you're dissatisfied, if you're restless, maybe not sleeping well, if you're feeling fragile, even as a follower of Jesus, which is okay, today's a great day to ask Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, to show us the things we must do to better incorporate Sabbath in our lives. We're not immune, church, to getting distracted by these other things. Jesus is here. He wants to teach us so you can be your best self, so you can be the best shepherd he's called you to be, so you can become whole and holy and enjoy the benefit of that blessed assurance that we sang about this morning, so it can be your story.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.